What a morning. Well, first of all, everybody's nervous, right? Everybody's on the edge of this. And then you get this move that Corey Knebel is going to be the opener instead of Julio Urías getting a start. And I have been digesting this and studying this and trying to figure this out. John, what is your reaction to Corey Knebel as the opener for tonight's game, deciding Game 5 of the NLDS against the Giants?
I have two thoughts on it that I want to kind of work through with you. But right. First, I can't let this go.
Okay.
I can't believe you blew the chunky soup bit.
That was awful.
I have been waiting to talk to McVay for weeks because I swear to God, I was shopping like 2 weeks ago when I wasn't feeling good. I'm walking down the aisle, and I bought chunky soup just because of him.
Really?
What,
yeah, see, I watch the Red Zone channel. I don't see a lot of commercials.
You don't watch Sunday Night Football at all, huh?
Yeah, I watch Sunday. I just
you don't watch Monday Night Football.
I just forgot about it.
You don't watch TV. Period.
Super awkward. Super awkward. But
all right. But we got bigger. You're right. We got good. I'm glad you did. Okay. So here's my thought, and I know we got Bill Plunkett coming up, so Bill can kind of shed some light on this.
Yes.
Okay. My first thought is don't like it, and here's why.
Okay.
You can overthink these monstrous games, and there is not a bigger game than tonight, and you can overthink them. I think the Dodgers may be guilty of that here. Julio Urías is a potential Cy Young Award winner who has been awesome. He is the answer to the question of who gives you the best chance to win right now.
Yes.
And when he won earlier in the series, when he won, was it game two?
The 9-2 game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he gives up two runs tonight, the Dodgers will win. So I hate taking Urías out of his comfort zone. But here's the other thought I had. It's kind of ballsy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice it in Game 4? Gabe Kapler mismanaged that game. He almost
I thought he was frantic as a manager. He burned through everybody so fast, bench players and relief pitchers.
So my thought is the Dodgers looked at that and said, let's make this guy make some tough decisions early.
Yep.
We'll start a right-hander, Knebel. This is an analytics-based platooned roster.
Yes, it is.
And then they have to decide, the Giants have to decide, okay, do we set our starting lineup for Urías?
Yep.
Or do we set it for Knebel? And then if they decide they'll set it for Knebel, Then you put Kapler in the – he may burn through his whole roster again.
Exactly right.
And so that's the part I like. I think if you made me – and since, you know, we're not allowed to hedge on this show.
Yep.
If you made me say good decision or bad decision, I don't like it. I think it's bad. But I understand why they did it.
I think it is a great decision. I absolutely love this decision. You sort of laid out the reasons why. And you know, it's complex, and we'll get into it with Bill Plunkett here in a minute. But as you said, the idea is it's a heavy, heavy platoon lineup. Against a right-hander, he would start La Stella. He would start Lamont Wade Jr. Against a lefty, he would go with an all-right-handed lineup. That puts Gabe Kapler in an interesting situation. And I think, as I said before, I think he managed Game 4 in a frantic way. I thought he was nervous. I thought he was quick to the trigger. I thought he made a lot of mistakes. I thought he burned through everybody at the wrong times, trying to play too many matchups. I think that's the position that the Dodgers are trying to put him in. And by the way, and a lot of people are saying, well, this is disrespect to Julio Urías. You know what? The reality is Julio Urías is going to get us 15 outs tonight. I don't care if it's first 15 or the last 15. I think Julio Urías is still going to get us the win.
But what happens if he could have gotten you 24 outs? Then you don't need Corey Knebel. You know, if Urías would have pitched like he pitched in Game 6 of the World Series last year, or was it Game 5? How many games did the Dodgers win the World Series in last year?
Six.
He pitched the closer.
He was on the mound. You're just not going to get that many innings out of him, John. You're not going to get
many
innings
did he
pitch? Out of
Julio How many Diaz. Innings did he pitch in Game 2? Six?
He got into the sixth.
He got into
the sixth.
So
that's just not the way things work anymore. And then they go to Kelly in a key situation. I mean, if they can get 15 outs out of Julio Urías tonight, you love that. I don't care where they come in the game.
Right. That, Bergman, do you like, if I make you pick, good move or bad move, which one do you pick?
If you made me pick, I'm in bad move, and I like to see him start. But I do like what they did. Dave Roberts did it smart. He put this out at 11:15 in the afternoon and basically said, all right, Giants, overthink this. And that's exactly what's probably going to happen.
You know, that's an interesting point. He could have, Greg, just not. I don't think you're required to announce a starter. I think he could have just sat on this until he got to the ballpark. And then the Giants, you know, he did this intentionally. He wants the Giants thinking.
Right. So now he's thinking, do I want to do the lefty, put the lefties in to go against the righty? And what happens in the second inning? Let's say Knebel goes through 1-2-3, Buster Posey is batting first in the second inning, and he is also a righty.
But
you
no,
stick
wait
with
a minute,
Knebel?
Go back to September the 3rd. And Knebel did throw two innings as an opener against the Giants. So this is not a new strategy. This was actually done as recently as September 3rd.
But it's 3rd. Mace. It's new to Urias. He's never had to do it, at least not this year when he won 20 games. So that's another risk you're taking.
But
taking
he's okay starting... coming out of the pen. He was great out of the pen last year.
Okay, but last night I was listening to Urias talk in his press conference. And
yes.
They asked him if he's ready for the start on such a big game, and his answer was, look, I'm as ready as I can be, but tomorrow when they lay out the plan for the game, that's when I'm gonna know how I'm gonna prepare for the game. So I guess he is ready.
He knew.
Yeah.
He knew something was up
because he says I'm gonna be ready no matter what. But I gotta see what the game plan is tomorrow prior to the game.
And by the way, in the first inning, in his career, Julio Urias has a 4.11 ERA. He's allowed 8 home runs. He's got a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 2, and he's got a .267 batting average against. He's allowed more runs in the first inning than he has in any other inning, so maybe that takes a little heat off there, too.
And if you keep going with that, just for this year itself, he has an OPS against him in the first inning of .720 just for this year, and then it drops considerably to below .600 for the next 4 innings.
So right, but that might be as simple, guys, as the first time through the lineup, they get him. He's still going to have to face those guys. Here's our buddy Jim Bowden. He says that he just tweeted this. The Dodgers' plan for Urias was approximately 6 innings, 90 pitches tops. Doesn't matter if it's 1-6 or 2-7, 3-8. To see if the Giants will start left-handed hitters and burn them, or for them to take advantage of Knebel with right-handed platoon players is smart strategy, and in my mind, definitely not overthinking it.
There you go.
Bowden likes the fact that the Dodgers are putting the Giants in this situation.
By the way, Dylan Hernandez, who's also covers the team really well, just tweeted this. I understand why the Dodgers are doing this. I also think Urias can handle it. At the same time, I don't think they would ask Buehler, Scherzer to do what they're asking Urias to do tonight. And even if the team thought they could deal, even if they thought the team could deal with it, so yeah, I mean maybe
that's
Julio because he's got relief experience in high leverage moments. I think it makes sense. I don't think it's disrespect. There are 27 outs that you need to get tonight. I don't care how you get them. I think that's exactly what I said with Bowden. You know, if you get 6 innings from Julio Urias, it doesn't matter if it's the first 6, the middle 6, the last 6. Just get 6 innings. And joining
us right now is
Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group. We wanted to dunk him early here to get him onto the show with some perspective. Bill, how much of a surprise was this? Did you think there was an inkling that this was going to happen?
Yeah, it was a pretty big surprise, but not surprised that, you know, the Dodgers would try something like this. They have been guilty of overthinking things in the past. Not sure if this qualifies, but, you know, you got a 20-game winner, a guy who pitched really well for the last 2 months. I don't know that most teams would mess with that.
Bill, this is coming from Andrew Friedman, don't you think? This isn't something that would be done at the managerial level by Dave Roberts or even the pitching coach. This has to be coming from the top, don't you think?
Come on. How many years has Friedman been here?
Yeah.
Nothing is done simply by the manager. That is
right.
Tommy Lasorda days. Those days are long gone. This is front office driven, not just Andrew, but the analytics department and all the guys he has that slice and dice everything within an inch of its life. It's Dave Roberts does not make this kind of a decision on his own.
So take a guess. Do you think Kapler goes with his lefties, or do you think he stacks his righties knowing that he's going to face Julio Urias for a chunk of the game anyway?
I think he turns the lineup upside down. I think the top half will see the lefties, you know, assuming that they will only get one crack at Corey Knebel.
So we'll see LaStella as the starter. We'll see Lamont Wade Jr. as a starter.
Yastrzemski, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I think he goes with them, assuming that he gets one at bat against Knebel, and then, you know, you roll the dice against Julio for the next five, six innings. And the idea is it forces them. You know, it's not that this is some brilliant strategy that's guaranteed to produce a shutout, but it does force the Giants to make decisions. You know, do you go for those platoon advantages early? Do you hold your lefties back? I mean, if you burn all your lefties early, put them in against Knebel and then pull them, then you don't have them to pinch hit against Trinan or Jansen later in the game,
yep,
assuming that the Dodgers get a lead. It's just forcing them to make decisions. That's what it is. It's trying to knock them out of, you know, their routine. They are an enormously aggressive team when it comes to pursuing platoon advantages. That has been a huge factor in their offensive success this season. So you just, you know, you force them to make some decisions before they're, you know, used to making them.
Bill Plunkett, Southern California News Group is with us. Go ahead, John.
Bill, this game tonight, if you throw in the postseason, Dodgers won 109, Giants have won 109. There's never been a playoff matchup in baseball with that many combined wins, and we're deciding it in a five-game series. Because of the way this ended up, do you think there'll be any talk in baseball this offseason into reseeding? Because this should be a seven-game series, don't you think?
Well, first of all, this doesn't happen that often, as you just said. So I would hesitate to make wholesale changes based on, you know, a generational coincidence where you had 200-win teams. But I do think baseball is going to revisit the playoff setup this offseason with the CBA up for negotiation. And I think anything that gives them more playoff games to sell to TV will be given a lot of consideration, whether that's, you know, best of three wild card, best of seven, and they'll, you know, DS Brown. More playoff game inventory to sell to TV is a good thing in their eyes.
All right, last thing for you, Bill. I know you're not rooting. You have no rooting interest in this thing. You're a reporter. You're an analyst. Do you think this is a win or a loss for the Dodgers?
I have a flight booked to Atlanta tomorrow morning.
Nice. I love that,
yeah,
man.
Well,
I
kind of have to.
Yep. All right. Bill,
true. You would have had to do that no matter what you think.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks for jumping on, man. We appreciate it. I know you're really busy right now.
You got it, guys. I tell you this, you know, for all the talk about Knebel and Urias, it doesn't matter if they don't solve Logan Webb.
It's true. It's absolutely right.
Yep.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Have fun.
You got it, guys.
All right. So there you have insight. And he said he had an inkling it was going to happen.
Well, it's not. I mean, when you lay out the reasons why they're doing it, it's not crazy. I mean, it makes some sense. You're forcing the Giants. But he's right about Logan Webb.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this wasn't the start the other night at Dodger Stadium where the Dodgers hit a bunch of really hard balls that the Giant fielders were in, you know, right place, right time. The 1-0 loss felt a little unlucky. I felt a little unlucky as a Dodger fan.
Yeah, there were some great defensive plays by the Giants, and the win definitely played a factor.
The 4-0 loss, the game one loss, I just thought they had no answers for Logan Webb.
I agree.
I thought Logan Webb just dominated. So if they can't hit him tonight, then none of this matters. Bill's right.
All right, so we are all over Dodgers-Giants for you. How you feeling? What do you think of the move to go with Knebel as an opener instead of starting Julio Urias? And we'll talk a little bit about Logan Webb and his success in Game 1 and what the Dodgers need to do to have success against him in Game Number 5. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Aight, what is up? I'll tell you what is up. Game 5 of the NLDS. Somebody is going to finish tonight with 110 wins. We don't know who that is going to be right now. The Dodgers, in a very surprising, out-of-the-blue move, have announced that there will be an opener. Corey Knebel is going to be the starter for tonight's game as an opener. And Julio Urias, we still expect to pitch the bulk of the game. As Jim Bowden tweeted, they expect to get six or so innings out of Julio Urias, and they're messing with matchups to try to get the right matchups at the end of the game. John, are you nervous?
No.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
I think the Dodgers are going to win.
I'm so nervous.
I think the Dodgers are going
to
win.
I've got my Julio Urias bobblehead. I'm not sure where to put it in the house, where it will be lucky.
Next to the TV.
Is it next to the TV? So I can see it while I'm watching the game? Okay, that's what
I'll do. Apparently you need to go get a Corey Knebel bobblehead.
Yeah, the Corey Knebel bobblehead night was not yet scheduled for 2021. We didn't have a Corey Knebel bobblehead.
It was in spring training.
It was in spring training. There you go. So,
John, Mason is so confident that he has $20,000 in mythical money on the Dodgers.
I like it.
Yeah.
I put your money where your mouth is.
I'm riding big, man. Riding big. All right. So we'll get your phone calls in here. A lot of people surprised at the move. 877-710-ESPN. Bill, John, you and Bill Plunkett both mentioned Logan Webb, who was absolutely dominating in game number one of this series. Logan Webb, was basically a two-pitch pitcher in game one. Changeup and slider and a lot of that stuff away. The Dodgers have got to get to Webb early. I have a feeling they're going to have a much better plan when they step to the plate to face him. He is a junk ball pitcher, at least he was during game one. He'll make an adjustment. The Dodgers will make an adjustment. I think he'll leave some pitches up at some point. He was near perfect in game number one. The Dodgers are going to have a chance against Logan Webb tonight.
Well, we'll see. I think that if the Dodgers get runners on base early, again, I know you don't like this, but I would play some small ball. I would not hesitate to bunt. I would not hesitate to let Mookie Betts or Cody Bellinger, if he's in the lineup, try and steal. So get some of your faster guys moving. And I think, you know, you get one or two runs early on the Giants and see if Gabe Kapler panics.
Well, you know,
it starts overusing everybody again.
It's funny you say that. Do you realize there has not been a lead change in this series? Whoever has scored first has won each of the games. That's rare to see a game without a lead change. So scoring first is going to be a really big deal tonight. Really big deal.
All right, 877-710-ESPN if you want to talk about this move. The Dodgers trying something pretty radical. 877-710-3776. Here's Steve in Ventura. Hey, Steve, you're on 710-ESPN. What do you think?
Well, Mace just mentioned that scoring first is so important. So what we've decided to do is take our 10th best pitcher and put him in first. Does that make any sense to you? What other sport do you say we're going to put in our 10th best guy and we're going to willingly interject him into the important position of being the starter? I can't think of, besides the fact that you mess with Urias's, you know, routine, which we always talk about routine with starting pitchers, Kershaw, it's down to the minute what he does. Scherzer's the same thing. But beyond that, we have now decided to take our 10th best pitcher and make him the starter.
It's an interesting thought.
I disagree with it. I think many times your best starter is the guy that comes into games late with runners on. The guy that gives inning.
Let's address Steve's point and tie it to the one that you read Dylan Hernandez made earlier.
Okay.
You wouldn't do this to Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler. Why is it okay to do it to Julio Urias?
Because we've seen Urias do it. We saw him come out of the pen during last year's postseason.
Kershaw's come out of the pen.
Game six of the World. You're right, and Kershaw's come out of the pen too. I think
they wouldn't do it to him.
This game is about matchups, and what the Dodgers are trying to do is to get the best possible matchups at the end of the game. I think Julio will be fine. I don't care that they wouldn't do it to anybody else. Makes no difference to me. All I care about is 27 outs. I don't care how they get them. I don't care who throws. 27 outs is the game tonight, and you've got to think about the game in that perspective. It doesn't matter if he gets the first six innings, the last six innings, the middle six innings. Urias is going to get an opportunity to win this game tonight, and I think he will wind up being the winning pitcher in this game.
All right, so you guys know that I have a very quick hook, particularly in must-win games.
Yes.
So, Knebel loads the bases tonight in the first inning.
No, he won't even get to loaded the bases. This is a reliever. This is a reliever. This is a guy you've put
so
out there
for one inning.
So you're saying
he lets two men on and you hook him?
Yeah, absolutely.
What if it's the
first? I'll tell you what.
What if
some guys get on.
So, Mace, that means you have a guy throwing if one guy gets on base.
I think you have a guy throwing no matter what.
If he walks Tommy La Stella, you get somebody up in the bullpen.
John, he's throwing one inning. There's already a guy up in the bullpen.
I'm just asking. You made fun of me when I suggested it the other day.
Right.
I'm saying you now are the one advocating get somebody up in the bullpen if he walks Tommy La Stella.
But Max Scherzer's job is to get you six. Corey Knebel's job is to get you three outs. If he cannot get those three outs, you're done with them. You've got somebody up in the pen. He's likely not pitching the second no matter what. So, yes, somebody is up in the pen when Corey Knebel is on the mound. This is a different scenario.
Greg,
you brought in a reliever to be your opener. His job is to get three outs.
So, Greg, your theory, which is you can't get somebody up right away because it'll destroy whoever's out there, confidence, is out the window. Do you agree with Mason that if he walks Tommy La Stella, you get somebody up?
Mason's absolutely right because this is a opener. It's not a guy that's supposed to go five, six innings.
John, you're missing it. Somebody is up when Corey Knebel is on the mound.
Yes, he is.
Somebody
already ready
else
to go.
Is pitching the second inning, whether that's Julio or another reliever.
I think if Knebel goes 1-2-3, he pitches the second inning too.
Well, that's what he did on September the 3rd. If he looks good and if they can maintain those matchups, he can throw a second inning. But if he puts two runners on, there's no way he's continuing. You've got a reliever already warm and a guy that's ready to go. He's a reliever. He's not a starter.
There is a three-batter minimum that you still have to do at the
beginning
of the
game.
Oh, right.
He still has to throw three batters.
So if he puts the first three on, then he's gone. But so there could have the bases loaded.
True. Yeah, it's a really good point. Really good point. And the question is, will La Stella even be the leadoff guy? It could be. La Stella could be the leadoff guy, or they could go with the right-handed
lineup.
Well,
Plunkett thinks he will be.
Yeah, or they could go with the right-handed lineup because they figure they're going to face Urias for the bulk of the game. Gabe
Kapler doesn't
have to play
into this.
By the way, what
would you do if you were the Giants? Yeah, what would you do if you were the Giants?
I'd stick with my right-handed lineup, knowing I'm going to face Urias for the bulk of the game. I wouldn't play into this trap. That's what it is. It's a trap. They're testing Gabe Kapler. And I thought Gabe Kapler managed a terrible game four. I thought he was just all over the place, quick triggers on everybody, burned through his bench too fast, burned through his bullpen, showed us absolutely everybody they've got in a game that was essentially a blowout. I think Gabe Kapler had a frantic game as a manager in game four. So I love this opportunity for the Dodgers. I do think... Greg, what do you think? I think they'll still trot out all the right-handers, knowing that Urias is ultimately going to be the guy that solves the game.
That's what I think is going to happen, too. If you remember, I think when the Brewers did this a couple of years ago in 2018, I think it was, against the Dodgers, they took the guy out before even the first out because the Dodgers didn't make a move whatsoever. So I still think that is a very much a possibility where you have Knebel, but if they go all lefties, or if they go all, whatever, depending on what if they go all righties, they might just put Urias in and just be like, all right, we lost Knebel for the game.
Right.
It's still very possible. I think anything, even though you've said that Knebel is starting, that doesn't mean he's going to go. So I do think that they're going to just stick with what they normally do. It's game five. They've beaten the Dodgers throughout the year. They won with Logan Webb. They trust in Logan Webb, especially at home. So I think they stay everything.
Yeah,
similar.
Logan Webb 13-0 at home this year with a .180 ERA. So he has had great success there. And I was talking to somebody who was actually
wait a minute. Say that again.
13-0 with a .180 ERA. Yeah.
He's that. Why isn't he in the conversation for the Cy Young Award?
Well, because he had a long stretch of injury. He didn't pitch enough games, didn't pitch enough innings.
ERA.
But 13-0 at home with a .180 ERA. That's what the Dodgers are up against. And I talked to somebody, John, who was at Oracle Park for one of the first, I think for the very first game. He said, fans, just a frenzy. They're marching around in the concourses yelling, beat L.A., beat L.A. He said it is a real factor, the crowd at that game. That's why I think the Dodgers need to quiet them early.
Man, imagine if the Dodgers get a bunch of runs in the top half of the first inning, and then Gabe Kapler's just like, what do I do now?
Exactly. You know, exactly.
It'd be great. It'd be great if they could get, you know, what if they got two or three runs in the first? That'd be awesome. Boy, games like this are great because a team that won 109 games is going to be done at the end of tonight. That's unbelievable.
And they've played 25 times.
Of course, you'll be
times.
Watching the. You'll be flipping back and forth between Lakers, Kings, and Dodgers, Giants, right?
You know what? I am going to miss. I'm just going to warn you in advance. I'm going to miss the Lakers, Kings exhibition game.
That's
despite the fact that the Lakers have been on a tremendous roll in the preseason.
They'll pick it up. They'll figure it out by Tuesday. That's all I can
say. I'm glad you brought that up. It is Lakers Ticket Thursday. Now, we've got a pair of tickets to be in the suite for Lakers Warriors for the opener on Tuesday night.
Really?
Yeah, right.
That's a really tough ticket.
So here's how we're going to do it, John. We're going to do it lie of the day form. It is your lie.
Okay.
It is your lie. So at some point, John is going to tell a lie today. If you figure it out and you call at 3:30, you will win for Lakers Ticket Thursday and be in a fancy suite for the opener, Golden State versus the Lakers on Tuesday night. So pay attention to absolutely everything we say. We'll continue to get your phone calls in, 877-710-ESPN. A dramatic day in Los Angeles as the Dodgers play in Game 5 of the NLDS. Also, we'll do some fantasy football with Matthew Berry next hour at 2:15 as well. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Just a little update. He was 13-0 in his starts at home. In his starts at home, Logan Webb was. He didn't go 13-0. They won 13 games he was
Scherzer,
the starter at Oracle Park.
Okay, got it.
Boy, you guys are sharp, man. You've got your red pencils out. You're ready to jump on everything. It's all right. It's nervous day. It's nerve-wracking.
Welcome to Twitter, Mace.
Welcome to Twitter. You're constantly being graded by everybody. Tonight is a huge night. John, will you do any – well, you're going to be doing the Lakers-Kings game. Will you be able to watch it?
Yeah, we'll have one of our TVs on the Dodgers. And our game starts an hour after that game. First pitch tonight, Greg, is around 6, right, for Dodgers?
Yes, I believe.
Yeah, right around
6. 6:07 start tonight. Let me make sure.
And so our game starts at 7. So,
you'll be able to watch a little bit uninhibited.
Well, somebody just reminded me that last year against the Braves, I got a tweet from somebody, Angel Navarrete. Thank you, Angel. 11-run first inning by the Dodgers.
Oh,
that
God.
In Atlanta.
What a relief that would be.
Can you imagine they do that tonight? That would be, boy.
Oh, what a relief.
Take a lot of stress off of a lot of people.
I don't know if I can take a really low-scoring game. I just don't know if I can take it. I was at that 1-0 game. By the way, John, Mason curse is over. I was there for game 4.
I know. The people can't pin that on you anymore.
Nope. Now, I didn't go to San Francisco. So they can't pin anything on me for that.
No, I think they're going to win anyway. I don't think you're that important in the big picture.
By the way, I'm not. This is what I've been trying to explain to people. I am not that important in the universe. I am not the guy that determines wins and losses. There has never been such a thing as a Mason curse.
All right, so I Dodger lineups out. You ready?
Yep, ready.
Okay.
See if it matches Mookie the Betts. One I put on the prep sheet.
Okay, Mookie Betts leading off and right. Corey Seager batting second at short. Trey Turner batting third at second.
Yep.
Who'd you have batting fourth?
I had Justin Turner batting fourth.
Will Smith is batting fourth at catcher. Justin Turner is batting fifth.
Gavin Lux sixth.
Gavin Lux sixth in center.
Chris Taylor seventh in left.
Nope.
No. Bellinger?
Cody Bellinger seventh in first base. Chris Taylor, eighth in left, and Corey Knebel pitching. That's your lineup.
God.
Betts, just... Seager, Turner, Smith, Turner, Lux, Bellinger, Taylor, Knebel.
It's the right lineup. That's the right way to go.
They've been
doing
this lineup.
The last three games. They've gone Will Smith in the eighth spot and Chris Taylor now twice in a row in the eighth spot to kind of protect the pitcher. I like it. It's great.
And by the way, the low part of that lineup, Bellinger's been really good. Lux has been fantastic. And Seager has been just smoking the baseball. Smoking the ball.
What do you think of Lux in center? Are you okay with him being in center field? Running into
the
state farm walls?
Played the other night. I mean, it's not the greatest defensive alignment that we've got, but we got to get his bat in the lineup somewhere.
And his bat's been great. And they get him out of, if you're ahead, at least in the games they've been ahead, they get him out of center late. They make a defensive replacement with him late. So
yeah, you can move Bellinger to center, and then you can put somebody in at first base. They used Billy McKinney at first for a couple of innings. You can go with Pujols there when you got a lefty up. There's a bunch of guys you can put there. Beatty,
So everybody's going to play their best superstitions today. And John, I forget if you're not a superstitious person.
I am with stuff like this. Like if I'm sitting on the couch and they're doing well, I won't move. Like if I'm wearing a hat, I won't change it.
So what will you do while you're at the game tonight?
Well, I can't do anything. I got to do the game. But I refuse to let, like, if somebody's in the room with, like, if Lisa's in the room with me, I tell her she can't move if they got runners on base and it's going.
Nobody can move.
You're right, though. It is arrogant to think we have any say in this, but I'm just that way.
It just makes me feel better.
When I'm playing golf, I have a bunch of dumb superstitions that have no actual impact on how I play, but I use them anyway.
It just makes me feel better when I feel like I'm doing my part. You know, even if my part has nothing to do with it, I'm doing something. And, you know, I always start in the bed with a hat on. Now, I bought a new Dodger hat the other night because I mentioned this yesterday. I think items only have a finite amount of luck. So it's like pouring out a carton of milk. When the milk is gone, when the luck is gone, you have to get rid of that item altogether. So I bought a new Dodger hat, the traditional standard Dodgers hat, and that's what I'll wear tonight because it's full of luck. Tell me that's normal.
I'm against any Dodger hat that isn't blue.
Is it blue? You don't like the gray?
Yeah. Don't like the gray, don't like the black, don't like the red, don't like any Dodger hat that isn't blue.
See, I like that gray one with the classic logo and the blue bill.
Yeah, no good.
Bergman,
hey,
what
so
about
I
you?
I sent you a text.
No, I'm wearing my Vin Scully shirt. I got a nice, cool Vin Scully shirt that I got from shopvinscully.com, and I will wear it with pride tonight, because Vin wins.
That is a nice shirt, though.
Thank you.
And Jorge?
I got my Urias jersey. I got my hat from the championship last year. I'm ready to go, man.
It's nerve-wracking, though. It is. I'm hyped up and nervous, and I drank too much coffee today, and I'm sweating, and I'm trying to figure out what the Giants lineup is going to be. I'm trying to figure out what my lucky hat is going to be. I'm trying to figure out where to put my Julio Diaz bobblehead for the best of luck. All this stuff is going on. I cannot eat during the game. I will not eat during the game. I won't eat before it. I won't eat until the game is over. I think it's going to be a celebratory meal. I think it's going to be Popeye's chicken sandwiches, the spicy chicken sandwiches, to celebrate the win. Love that chicken from Popeye's. That's what I'm going to do, and it's going to be celebratory donuts tonight, too. Tonight's going to be a night to celebrate, John.
What time is the celebratory heart attack?
Tomorrow.
At the age of 58.
Yeah, when you eat Popeyes and donuts for dinner.
I've got 2 years left, John. 2 years left, but I'm going to make them good.
Oh, man.
So, so we got that going on. Oh, man, oh, man. By the way, anytime you want to jump in on the show, 877-710-ESPN, you can tweet the show at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland. By the way, Jorge, what's Jorge is at Jabcam L-A.
That's right.
Bergman is at Bergman Greg. Yep. You can also email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. And John, how do they reach you on email?
Venicemace@gmail.com.
There you go. So we are always available to you. 24/7. All right, Matthew Berry's coming up in a half hour. Don't forget his Lakers ticket Thursday. At some point, John is going to tell a lie. If you know what it is at 3:30, you will win a pair of suite passes to see Lakers-Warriors Tuesday night. John, I want to get a little Lakers in coming up next for you. I saw a really interesting Carmelo Anthony quote that I want to ask you about. That's okay. Coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Chris Morales, why would you put that out there?
We bad don't juju.
That is bad juju. Don't suggest that. They're celebratory donuts. Let's not put the other thing into the universe. Does he not know the rules?
It's a fair question.
Right, it is
a fair
question.
Damn,
if they
lose, you're still getting donuts.
Oh, I'm not even going to think about it, John. I'm not even going to think about it.
They're wallow in pity donuts if they are.
They would be very sad donuts, yeah. I'd probably eat twice as many. Let's go to Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, you're on 710. What's up, man? Let's go to John in West L.A. John, you're on 710.
Hey, love you guys. I hate this Urias move. It seems extremely disrespectful to a guy who's done nothing but win since he was and give his life to this organization since he was like a teenager. It seems competitively weak. There's a three-batter rule, like you mentioned. It seems like classic overthinking. And, man, if they blow this, I'm done with Roberts and the brain trust there, despite all the great things they've done in the big picture. This drives me nuts. And, John Ireland, you are the true heir to Chick Hearn. Thank you.
Wow.
That's very nice of you.
That's
thank
very
you.
Nice.
Mace, I do not think you can fire anyone if the Dodgers lose to the 109-win Giants.
No.
This is what you pay these guys for, is to come up and make decisions
and,
like this.
And
if it doesn't work, I'm not giving up on Roberts and Friedman. You tried something and it didn't work.
Yeah, and Friedman, don't blame Roberts for this. This is not a Roberts move. This is a Friedman move. This is putting all the data into the magic lineup and pitching rotation machine, and this is what it got spit out. It's not Roberts, so do not blame Roberts for this move. If there is blame after this is over, the blame has to lay at the feet of Andrew Friedman. Do you agree?
Yes, I think, and Andrew Friedman has been the best GM in baseball really ever since he got here. So I don't think anyone should be fired or disciplined if they lose tonight. The Giants are really good. I think that we've been spoiled as Dodger fans. They've been to the World Series three times in the last 5 years. They won it once. They may be going back this year. I mean, I think that the Dodgers have kind of spoiled us with success, don't you think?
Oh, no question about it. And it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't. And, you know, I was going to say this too. Farenzide stole the blueprints from Andrew Friedman. And that is why they are what they are. And they are a really, really good team. I don't want to take anything away from them. They found castoffs like Anthony DeSclafani and Kevin Gausman and Donovan Solano. They have their home-raised players like Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey. They found guys who were 4A guys like Lamont Wade Jr. I mean, they've gone out and they've done basically exactly what the Dodgers did when they started their run. So that is a very good team. And in a lot of ways, it's a mirror image of the Dodgers. We have more talent, but in terms of putting a team together, that's what they did. I put a list on here. I would say that in terms of lineup, who would you give the advantage to, Dodgers or Giants?
Well, we haven't seen the Giants lineup yet, right?
But generally speaking, at the plate.
Dodgers.
Yes. Starting pitching, would you say anybody has an advantage, given that we don't – just talking about generally speaking.
I would take the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think it's – I would take the Dodgers. Defense.
Giants.
Giants, agreed. Bullpen.
It's a coin flip.
Our bullpen's been really good. Been really good. And manager, I say advantage Dodgers.
I think it's a coin flip.
You do?
Because I think the front offices are running both teams.
Isn't it weird that these were the two guys who were up for the Dodgers managerial job? It really came down to Dave Roberts or Gabe Kapler. And they opted for Roberts instead of Kapler. And Kapler went to Philly, flamed out. Now he's in San Francisco. But those were the two guys that were up for the job at that point. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the Giants because they've been really, really good. And they deserve to be where they are. I just think tonight is the night we get the best of them. Let's go to Armando in Gilbert, Arizona. Armando, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Long time listener, even over here in Arizona.
Cool. Thank you, man.
Just want to say, Travis Rogers actually put me at ease, just hearing him talk about the move. I really like it. I know CK, usually CK is Clayton Kershaw, but today we're going to get some Corey Knebel, CK magic. He threw two scoreless innings in San Francisco. Julio coming out of the bullpen. I mean, you see what he did last year in the World Series, coming out of the bullpen against the Rays. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with the move. The Dodgers' bats are going to come alive, with runners on scoring position. The Dodgers have left so many runners on scoring position this whole series, and tonight is the night they're going to break out, and I think the Dodgers are going to win big.
All right, I love that, man. I love that, Armando. Thank you. Here's how I think it goes. I think it goes Knebel, first and second. Urias, third through seventh. Trinan in the eighth, and Kenley the ninth. In a perfect world, that's what I think is going to happen. What do you think, John?
I hope you're right. That would be smooth. I wouldn't mind seeing Gratterall get in there. You see, he threw a 102-mile-an-hour sinker.
Yeah. The one thing about Gratterall, and the velocity is undeniable, right? But he's not necessarily a guy that you bring in a jam because he pitches to contact. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is low. He throws a really heavy sinker, so he gets a lot of ground balls. He's not a strikeout pitcher. That's the one thing about him. So I love Gratterall in a clean inning. I don't love him with runners on base. But they've been using him in clean innings. I think they've been using him in exactly the right moments. But 102.5?
Also, Kelly's been used a lot,
sinker.
Right?
On a sinker, he threw 102.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing. But it'd be good again. Hey, what were you going to ask me about Carmelo?
Oh, yeah, here. This is what I was going to say about Carmelo. And this sort of describes how I feel about this Lakers team. Great quote from Carmelo here. He says, you can't cheat the process, and nobody is sure how good we'll be. The unknown of it is what intrigues me. That kind of sums up how I feel about this team. The unknown of it is what is going to be the most fascinating part. They aren't going to be, as LeBron said the other night, the big three were out there and it didn't necessarily click completely. The numbers look good. They didn't win the game. But the numbers look really good. But figuring out how to play together is going to take a little bit of time. Thankfully, they're at home for a big chunk. I think they're home for 14 of the first 17 games or 13 of the first 17 games. But it's the unknown of it, which is what Melo says, that intrigues him. What do you think?
Okay, but all right, so a bunch of us went out to dinner last night.
Okay.
By the way, Mike Trudell bought dinner for all of us.
Wow.
Six people.
Good for him.
That was incredibly nice. Thank you, Mike Trudell. But we were all asking this question. basically, it was really what you just hit on. How long should we give this Lakers? Like, how much rope should we give them to, like, he says you can't cheat the process.
Yep.
What's realistic when you've got so many new players? For example, I don't think there is another team in the West that you would pick to beat the Lakers in a seven-game series, correct?
Correct.
But if they start the season 10-10,
yep,
is that part of that process, or is that unacceptable?
I think we've got to roll. I mean, what was the big three in Miami? What was their opening record? You've talked about
nine
this.
And eight.
9-8.
9-8 before they hit their stride. And by the way, the big three in Miami went to the finals every year they were together.
The only thing that would concern me about that start would be 13 of the first 17 are at home. You hate
Correct.
To blow home games, right?
The schedule is very backloaded. Look at the first three games. Golden State, Phoenix, Memphis.
Those
all
three
playoff
very
teams
tough
last
games.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they go 0-3, are we freaking out?
No.
Yeah,
well,
I don't think you can.
You can't freak out. This is who we're rolling with.
Well, by the way, again, LeBron normally, when you give him time, figures it out. So the team that they are in October might be completely different than the team they are in May and June. But you've got to give them time to learn how to play together. Right now, I still wouldn't pick another team to beat them in a seven-game series, but it might take time to get there.
John, do you think that – are you asking, are we going to panic after 0-3 or are fans going to panic after 0-3?
Yeah, that's a different question.
Both.
No, we're fans.
We are, but fans will freak out if they're 0-3. It'll be a gigantic mess. Twitter
right.
will
that's
go crazy. You kidding?
But doesn't it kind of look like what the 0-3 looks like?
Yes. John?
How many times? All right, I'm going to make you do it again. Repeat after me. Twitter is not real life.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with you. But
Twitter is not real life.
Twitter is very much fan life. And Lakers Twitter will freak out if they're 0-3. Guaranteed.
Yeah, it is funny, John. There is such a thing as Lakers Twitter. There is a really hardcore, smart, emotionally ragged group of people who are on Twitter. But John is absolutely right. I think if you look at statistically, only 40% of people even have a Twitter account. And that doesn't count the people that use it. Now, that doesn't mean that – I think sports people use it a lot. I think sports people and politics people use Twitter a lot more than the average civilian. So our listeners, a lot of them use Twitter a lot. But it is true that Twitter is not real life.
Twitter is not real life.
There you go, Jorge.
Twitter is not real life.
Yep. We got to say that over and over again to remind people. Still waiting, by the way, for the lineup for the Giants. We want to see how Gabe Kapler is going to counter Corey Knebel as the opener for the Dodgers tonight. Because Urias is definitely going to pitch significant innings, the bulk of the innings. So is Kapler going to burn his right-handers? That's the question. Is he going to burn them? Coming up next, more of your calls, 877-710-ESPN. Let you know that at 1:15, Matthew Berry is going to... Is that 1:15 or 2:15? Do I have that wrong?
That'd be 2:15, Mace.
2:15. Sorry about that. 2:15.
1:15 was half an hour ago.
Oh, that's totally true. I'm
nervous.
On
it's okay.
I'm
You're
on
nervous.
Edge. I'm nervous. 2:15, Matthew Berry's going to join us. So if you've got fantasy football questions, if you've got a this or that, should I play this guy? Should I play that guy? All that stuff, you get ready for Matthew Berry. If you want to tweet something, a question about your fantasy football team, should I play this guy? Should I play that guy? At Venice Mace, we will try to read some of those for Matthew as well. So that's 2:15. Also, don't forget, it's Lakers Ticket Thursday. At some point, Ireland is going to tell a lie. And if you figure out what that is and call in at 3:30, you can win a pair of tickets to be in a fancy suite for Lakers-Warriors Tuesday night, opening night. Make sure you keep listening for Lakers Ticket Thursday. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.